Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. I hope your week is going well and so glad that you're here checking in for more of your listener questions. That's what we've been doing for years here every Wednesday, and it continues today with questions about interesting strategies to get back to Disney's Pop Century Resort. If you don't want to take a bus directly back to Pop, say you want to try to get back there in a creative way, we talk about Skyliner bus combinations and other thoughts there. We also talk dining down at Walt Disney World. Where are some places to get last-minute ADRs and some quick counter-service meals that are still very high quality? We also speculate on when things might return to normal, as we do, and much more. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. If you want to support the Be Our Guest podcast, book that next trip with the great professional agents over at the Magic for Less. Just visit themagicforless.com and check out all the great trip planning tools. And while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote form, and an agent will get back to you right away with some availability and pricing. It's very, very simple. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, a free way to support the show is to use our Amazon affiliate link. Anytime you shop on Amazon, it's one extra click, and it really does help support the show. So just click through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, a very big thank you to our patrons. You guys are allowing us to keep the show going during these times where travel is still down just a bit. And I thank you so much for that. If you'd like to become a patron yourself and get an extra podcast, Mike in the Midwest, every Thursday, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1879 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rahman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope everybody is doing well. Had a great Easter weekend. I know a lot of places here in the United States can't complain about the weather for Easter. Here in the Midwest, it was awesome. It was 80 and sunny. Continues to be that way, getting a little rain here in the midweek, but hey, can't complain. April showers, May flowers, and all that good stuff. I think that was a song by Justin Timberlake. But anyway, we're going to be answering your listener questions. Pam's back, Ricky's here, and from what I've been told, they've been collecting answers just for you. So we're going to jump into it. Joining us from themouseforless.com, where you can check out all the park hours and everything else you want to know, but mostly park hours, right? We have Ricky. Park hours, maybe, on the Mouse for Less.
Menus.
If you want to know menus.
We have menus. We have lots of menus. Sure, I'll give you that one.
What's going on with you?
Oh my goodness. Just had a great Easter. So spent time with just me and Brian, and we spent time outside because it was gorgeous. So yeah, we got a new patio set. So we just have been trying to, because you know, lately it's weird weather right now. So it's been like cold every single weekend that we try to go outside. It's nice during the week and then cold on the weekend. So actually got to sit outside and enjoy our beautiful patio set. So yay.
How did those deviled eggs taste? I've currently my deviled egg count is up to 9 since Sunday. And I think there's one left in the fridge. Probably not made it to the time this publishes. Just saying.
I only made 12 deviled eggs because I did not want to make a whole heck of a lot because they're so time consuming to make. But I have eaten 3, and then Brian has eaten 3, and then we will probably eat the other 3 tonight. So
I did have a startling discovery at Easter about deviled eggs. But a deviled egg is really only half of an egg, right? I mean, right. So you could double up on them and, you know, not feel like if you eat 12, you've really only had 6 eggs.
You've only had 6 eggs. This is true. And then all the stuff that you put
inside. Stop. Yeah. I mean, it's just like accessories. You know, it's not a big deal.
It's like accessories. There you go. Yeah. I have to say, I definitely do make the best deviled eggs. I mean, hands down, I just want to throw it out there. Like, I make the best deviled eggs.
All right. Well, we're welcoming back the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, did you partake in any deviled eggs up in the Pittsburgh area?
No, you know, we didn't. We ended up, we went out for Easter this year with my parents because it just, we had just gotten back and I wasn't prepared to make anything right after a trip. So we went to this great little restaurant near us, but had like the best Easter brunch. Truly, they just have lots of good food. So there's nothing better than a brunch, really.
True story.
It's just really, there's just something about it. It like makes the Sunday better. So
absolutely.
Anyways, yes. And I did. I'm full of all kinds of knowledge on all kinds of things right now. So get it while it's hot, as they say.
Yeah.
You know? But tomorrow, this may all be gone.
So. If I always tell my fam, you know, my brain's so big it hurts. You know, some days. Yeah. You know, some days I feel that way. Some days I feel like I left it at the bus stop. You know. Like, yeah.
This is our area of expertise, though, really and truly. Like, this is the sweet spot for all three of us. This is, like, where we shine. Ask us about math or chemical reactions, biology.
Hey, I was a science teacher. Back off now. I can give that stuff if I want to. If I'm in the, when I'm not wearing a Taco Bell t-shirt, I'm much more teacherish. You know.
Are you still doing like chemistry stuff?
I could. Yeah. I mean, I worked for NASA. I mean, I did. I got a check from NASA for a couple summers. I mean, not that there was high requirements to work at space camp. I mean, there was, but anyway, that's how our people hear. We got an important question, Pam, and this one is. You talk about being it like just this is a layup for you because here's the question, and it's from Lister Christina. She asked it today, actually, as a recording, and I said, "Oh, this is Pam's question." She wants to know. She's going to go down to the studios now. She's not going until September, the fall, I believe. She wants to know if Brown Derby Lounge is serving foods or is it just serving drinks? Like, what is the status currently of Brown Derby Lounge? Because I told her Pam's down there, and I'm sure she's at least done a flyby. So what's up?
And I did look. They are still just serving drinks at this time. They are not serving food. And it used to be, really, when they're operating at full capacity, you know, they used to allow you not only to order from the lounge menu, which has some unique offerings that you couldn't get inside the restaurant, but they also used to let you order from the full Brown Derby menu. And right now they just aren't offering food, I guess, because they don't want people to linger. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. It's outside and the Brown Derby's open. Why can't we get people some food? But anyways, yeah, they're not. Baseline Tap House is still have their menu. Now they don't have a lot to choose from, so keep that in mind. There's just some limited choices right now, I will say, at Hollywood Studios, now and forever.
That's true. Pam, I mean, you said there's not a lot of choices at Baseline, but I mean, really, honestly, do you need anything more than the pretzel with cheese as well as the charcuterie board? Ding that bell, mister.
No, you don't.
I mean, really.
If you do, you can just order two.
Exactly. That's a meal for me right there. Like
two pretzels, please.
Two pretzels of cheese and then charcuterie board. I'm in. Yes. Let's go. Yes.
Yeah, I know. So anyways, it just is, it's not right now. And I hope, we all hope that it opens soon, especially since the weather is beautiful. If ever there is a time that this should be open, it is right now. So I say, I hope that COVID brings about a change where we have lots more lounges.
I mean, hey, it makes sense. I mean, you're down there for vacation and food tastes better outside on vacation. I've always said that. Yes. You've said that too. So, all right, here's a question from my good buddy, Len Wilcox, one of my great guests over at the Magic for Less. He says, I was wondering about the stability of Rise of the Resistance mechanics, if they have improved since the first couple of months of its opening. He says, my wife and I went down last January with Mike's help, and you almost expected it to be down most of the time and felt pretty lucky if you got to ride. We had boarding group 40 and rode at dinner time. Have the downtimes for the ride decreased significantly since then? So, Ricky, what are you seeing? I mean, I'm seeing that it's getting a lot better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's getting better, too. You know, they're getting through the boarding groups a lot faster from what I've seen, which is a great thing. I'm glad to see that it's starting to be more stable. Now, of course, you're still going to get those times where it does go down, and it just kind of depends on the day. And it could go down for a short period of time. It could go down for a long period of time. Never know. With an attraction that complex, you just don't know what part of it is not working. But I do think for the most part, it is definitely being a little more stable. So that's a good thing.
All right. Next question is from Lisa. She's in Buffalo. She says, hey, BOGP crew, my family and I are headed down to stay at Pop Century at the end of April. We have never stayed at Pop, and I'm excited to stay at a Skyliner resort. I've heard mixed reviews about the bus transportation at Pop, and I am slightly concerned about our Magic Kingdom day. We're considering taking a break and heading back to the hotel midday. I know that the wait for a bus midday tends to be long, even during non-COVID times, so I am imagining it could be even longer now. So I'm wondering if you think it'd be worth it to take a bus to any Skyliner resort, depending on the first one that comes, and then taking the Skyliner back to Pop from there. Thanks for your input and all that you do, Lisa. Okay, here's what I think about this one. I kind of like the ingenuity, right? Because you got to be creative. Like when I stay at Pop, or I'll hop an Art bus in a Blink, and whichever one's there, especially if Art like rolls up with a big old stretchy bus, and they tend to get the bigger ones sometimes, I'll hop there, walk over to Pop. Here's the one thing you do got to consider. That is not a bad idea. But you got to remember, if something happens, say you're on that bus and a storm comes on and the Skyliner gets shut down, you are stranded where, you know, I mean, there'll be ways, but then you're really adding up the time. I mean, if you get stuck at Caribbean Beach, Skyliner goes down, you're talking, you got to take a bus then to the studios, probably get on another bus to Pop, and then you've tripled your time. I don't know, Pam, what do you think about this kind of a strategy? Because I think you do got to think about, with transportation as it is right now, it's not optimal that you really do have to be even maybe more aggressive in the mornings from Pop Century, getting out to the bus stop very early to be, you know, ahead of the crowd. And also midday, they don't send as many buses because most people are in the parks.
Right. I honestly, in my limited bus experience, I will say that I don't find midday to be long, long waits.
Yeah.
They still are running, you know, a baseline amount of buses, even though the demand is not there. So it's not typical that you're going to roll up and have to wait for a bus other than the first one that comes. So that's something to take into consideration. The only time I would do it is, again, like Mike mentioned, if you're staying at Pop or Art of Animation and one of those buses came, I would absolutely, if I'm within, you know, if the bus stops are right next to each other.
That's another issue. Exactly. I mean, Caribbean Beach could be on the other, you know, because now they have the different 100%. Bays. Yeah, you might even
there
be
are three different lanes from the Magic Kingdom that buses stop in. So consider that. The only time I would do that were like sister resorts, like Art of Animation and Pop. And the reason is that those two, even if you take the bus to them, you can walk from one resort to the other. You don't have to rely on the Skyliner transportation. Actually, depending on where you're staying, sometimes the bus from Art of Animation drops you off closer to where you're staying at Pop Century than the Pop Century bus does. So.
I've seen that many times. And we lost Pam's video, but she's still here audio, so we are good.
Oh, that's weird. I can't hear her at all.
No,
so.
I still hear. We'll get her in here. Okay, so next question. We'll get it figured out as we go here. Jennifer in the live chat says, we're going in December. Will Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique reopen? I have a 5-year-old that needs, and it's got stars for emphasis to go. So give us odds, Ricky. What do you think for Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique in December? I think it's going to be one of the last things to reopen, honestly.
What'd you say, Mike?
I think it's going to be one of the very last things to reopen just because it's so hands-on. I mean, this is a very intimate experience, right? I mean, there's somebody messing with your hair, they're right up on you. But I mean, it's kids.
The only thing is like, I mean, here in Georgia, I mean, you know, like salons and stuff like that have been open for a while. So like, it's, you know, like the fact that it's a salon is
it's not a salon. It's a Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique.
I know, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique.
It's not
great
clips.
The only thing I can think of is the reason why it hasn't necessarily reopened is how tightly, you know, the space is, and you can't really social distance in a place like that. So that's one of the things that I think may be hindering it. So I think, you know, it'll all depend on what's going to happen with restrictions as far as social distancing. And as we move forward, you know, December, you know, we still have, there's still quite a bit of time until December. So you never know, we may see it reopen by then. I wouldn't count on it, but if it does happen, then it'll be a good thing. And that's kind of how I would look at everything as we move forward. You know, if it's something that you really have your heart set on, you know, don't count on it happening. But then if it actually does happen, then that's a positive. And I think that'll tie into another question that we'll probably have later on that I keep seeing popping up in the chat. So,
because we're getting tons of questions in the live chat about when will this open? When will that open? When will Walt Disney World be back to full capacity? I mean, I wouldn't expect Walt Disney World back to full capacity till 2022, just because they're going to be conservative with it. Not saying that they wouldn't be ready. I don't know, Pam, let's kind of hit that question because we have a lot. It's kind of the theme of the chat questions. We have some other ones today, but What do you think? I mean, we're sitting here in early April. Things are going well with vaccination, you know, programs here in the States. I mean, things are, knock on wood. I mean, at least we're doing better. We could say that. I think everybody agrees. But we're definitely not out of the woods yet. And the thing I think that we got to remember as Americans, as folks in the United States, is that Walt Disney World is an international destination. And right now, we don't have international travel. So things are looking positive. But I mean, Walt Disney World's looking at this from a bigger picture, from maybe like the 30,000 foot view, where, you know, they're not successfully back to operation until they got all the folks from the UK, all the folks coming over from Australia, Japan, all over the world. And we're nowhere near close to that. I mean, what do you think, Pam?
So I think it's interesting what's happening right now. Disney is always going to take a conservative approach because one of their tenets is, of course, to keep their guests and their cast safe. And that supersedes, you know, really so many other needs and wants that they have within their company, so many other things that they do. I think the other thing that impacts this is that the decision is not just solely theirs. There's recommendations made, you know, by so many things. I mean, right now, consider what's going on in the cruise line industry. Even though the cruises are willing to make the requirement that people have to be vaccinated to go, the CDC is still not really giving them a clear path to sailing at this point. And, you know, if these companies could, they'd be out there and they'd be doing it safely since people are going to be vaccinated. So I think there's just a lot of things at play here right now that they're working on. I think that there's probably some behind the scenes kind of things that they want to get worked out before they bring more people into it. I know that guests are anxious to see everything get back to normal, but I think it's just sort of an unfair burden to put on any business to say, when are you going to get back to normal? I think really more what we need to be asking is, what can I go there and do now? And right. Then as a consumer,
yes.
You get to decide this is either worth it for you to go and experience this or it's not worth it. But to go there and be upset because things are not how they used to be, I think is a little unproductive for everybody.
Amen. I think that
it just is. It's like that, not just with Disney, with all these different businesses. So I'm not trying to be preachy or anything here. I just think it's a personal choice that will make you a bit happier if you go with that point. So.
Pam, I have never heard that put so well.
Aww.
And that was perfect. I mean, really, honestly, like that's exactly what people need to do. They need to look at what is happening now. If they're okay with how what they see happening now, then, you know, they should take their trip. If they're not, then, you know, they should consider, you know, it's one of those things where, like, they should consider what they can do to make it so that they can take their trip. You know, like, I feel like that's the perfect way to put that. So,
yeah. I know. And just, like, things even in your home life, I'm sure, are still very different than what you're used to. And I think for me, in the times that I've gone during this time, I'm always so grateful to be able to still be there and experiencing it. Is it different? It is different. And it will continue to be different for an extended period of time. Our world is a little different.
Absolutely.
Right now. And we don't know when that will end or if it will end. It will some of these things be part of our new normal? So I think that's just where we have to have the flexibility in that space. But I wanted to mention too, for the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique people, I believe if you contact Four Seasons, their salon and spa is doing something similar. So try and see. At least they were at one point. So try there and see if they have any available.
That's lovely.
That's right. I'm getting a pedicure there at the end of
there
the month.
You go. There you go. Good for you.
I'm not. I would never punish anybody to look at my ugly runner's feet. Like, just, I mean, it's like a toenail. No toenail.
Oh,
toenail?
Stop. I'm going to throw up. No, stop. I'm actually going to throw up. That's so gross.
Oh. Okay. Next question. We are taking dates. Okay. I'm writing this down. Aaron's got a great question. Is it too late to place bets on when the People Mover will reopen? It was supposed to be April 1st. Fools. Just kidding.
Hey, April Fools.
I'm optimistic. Okay. I'm writing this down. I'm going tax day. Typical tax day. I'm going the 15th of this month. I'm giving it two more weeks because it's been moving. Ricky, what's your date? I'm just writing this down so we can go back to it.
I
make it a whole dissertation. Just give me a date.
I've paid attention to the rumors. So I have to say the beginning of May.
Okay. So give me a date. 5-1?
Like, yeah, 5-1.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Pam?
I'm gonna go May 2nd.
Oh, look at right. that. She, oh, you're totally. She bet. She bid right. a buck on us. She did the dollar bid on us.
She did. She did the dollar bid. I feel cheated.
Dude, I should have gone last.
Come on, I'm no dummy. What's my prize? Dude, do I get an ALF?
Nope, that sucker's opening on the 15th. Nope.
You get an ALF signature.
I'm getting when that thing opens on the 15th, I'm getting $100 bill out of Bob Barker's pocket. I'm just saying.
Speaking of that, can you even imagine the uproar that would be if Bob Barker was like, reach into my pocket and get the $100 now?
Or Richard.
That would so not be loud on TV.
Or no, even worse, would be Richard Dawson on the Family Feud. Oh, dude, just going down the line.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dude, just kissing everybody.
All the 70s.
So many that is, kisses.
I'm
no,
just saying, you know me, man. I watch Love Boat all day. Mm-hmm. The 70s were where it was. I mean, it was a fun world. Anyway, Jennifer's got a question. Can you do rider swap with Rise? Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Yes, okay. You can. But everybody has to have a boarding group.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, make sure everyone has a boarding group. Yes.
All right, next question.
You can't do the thing where you get one person.
No.
That'd be sweet. And people be having kids for that reason. It's so hard to get on that ride.
You know what would happen, or at least renting out their child.
Yeah. Right?
Mommy, why is my name boarding group? First name boarding, middle name group, Rallman.
Yeah,
boarding group, Rallman. Okay, Kate has a question. Hey, guys, DVC member here. Are you seeing low availability for rooms in the fall? DVC studio rooms are basically sold out. I will say, yes, the fall is, let's see, what do they say in Missouri? Hotter than a firecracker? It's hot, especially if you get around the beginning of October, smoking hot. You don't want to touch it. There's not much left. People want to travel and the rooms are going. So if you want to go this fall, you need to book yesterday. Just remember, because you can lock in with a small deposit, fully refundable. But I mean, once those rooms are gone, it doesn't matter if you have $1,000 in your pocket, you can't get them. I mean, they're gone. Yeah. So Pam, just real quick thoughts on that.
It is. And I came back from my trip and I've been looking at different availability on different dates and seeing, you know, you have not just the resort availability that you need to keep track of, but also the park the park reservation availability that you have to keep track of. So that was really the thing I've been walking away with and telling people this. Like, I know my job is a travel agency owner, right? And of course, I would love you to book early because then we have more time to plan, help you get excited. You have more time to pay. But more than anything else, I want you to be able to get to Disney if you want to get to Disney. And the way that we can ensure that you can do that is if you place that $200 refundable deposit on your vacation. And a package is going to work best for almost everybody. The reason being is that when you book a vacation package, as soon as you put the $200 down, you can start making your park reservations. And this is for into 2022 at this point. Mm-hmm. And what happens if in 3 months you won't be able to go, we cancel, you get your $200 back. Mm-hmm. So that's what, it makes it more important than ever before.
Yep.
To put down that deposit early and get something on the books.
And another thing to go with that, a lot of guests don't realize that the difference between booking a room only and a package right now is we can remove the tickets later if you need to. Say you come into an annual pass or something in the fall and the winter, whatever. We could pull those down. It's called a basic package. Basically, it's a room only, but you just pay it off at 30 days. It's same price, right, as a room only. It's just got a little bit different, you know, cancellation, but it's not a big deal. But the thing is, like Pam said, you can make the theme park reservations immediately. And here's the other kicker. Your deposit's a lot of times way cheaper putting the tickets on it because it's always $200. Doesn't matter if it's a $10,000 stay, it's $200 for the deposit. I mean, if you're staying one night at the Grand Floridian, is a room only, your deposit might be $800. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, you would think it'd be more expensive, but it's not. So another reason. Anyway.
No, it is. There's a lot of pluses for that right now. And the availability is plus number one.
Absolutely.
2, 3, and 4.
And 7 and 8. Okay. Let's see here. Rob's just asking. He's always in here. Thanks for always being here, Rob. We sure appreciate it. Do you guys think any discounts will be available for February? Again, I would say probably. But again, it's based on availability. I mean, if Disney has the entire resort sold out, there's no incentive for them to discount. But February, typically, we had discounts this February, didn't we? Yeah, we did.
We did.
So, yeah, I would say yes, probably. But don't hold me to that, but I would say yes.
Oh.
Hey, speaking of Justin Timberlake, Kyle's got a question in the live chat. Any tips for going to Walt Disney World when it's going to be May? We're used to traveling to Walt Disney World in the winter months, but this year we will be there in mid-May with three small children. Looking for any and all tips, thanks. Okay, we're going to each give one tip, and I'm going to steal the one Pam usually gives. It's three small kids, don't overdrive them. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I mean, if they take naps, go back midday. I know that we just talked about transportation can be a little... If you drive them from park opening to park close, nobody... If the kids aren't happy, trust me, mom and dad, whoever's going, grandparents, whatever, nobody around them is going to be happy. The person standing next to them in small world line, not happy. So, you know... Even though you might say, I want to be in the park for 12 hours, you might do 8 hours of a lot higher quality theme park visiting and have 4 hours of downtime. I would say take a break with little kids. And guess what? Little kids are going to like the pool more than they're going to like the Magic Kingdom. Sad. True. Ricky, what do you got?
I am going with the fact that it is May. And while at home, it may be starting to get warm in Orlando, it is summer already. So make sure you bring fans. You bring...
I always
you
know, have the... fans. People are always like, Mike, is that Mike from the BR Guest podcast? I'm like, yeah, hey! No, just kidding. No. I never have that. But that'd be cool. That's in my dream. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. fans, cooling towels, extra bottles of water to carry around with you, sunscreen. You know, make sure you think like... that you're traveling in the middle of July, because that's the how it feels while you're walking around the parks in May. No matter what part of May you're going in, that's how it feels. So it may just be in the early 70s, mid-70s where you're at home. It's in the 80s/90s usually in May, so just keep that in mind.
And Pam, going to you, you just mentioned before we started recording, there was a day that you were down there last week. It was 92 degrees already. Woo!
Right. And then toward the end, it was 50-something degrees in the morning. So we had to prepare for everything. Layers are going to be your friend. But the small children, I always advise flexibility. They are going to find magic in places that you never, ever expected it. It was... You know, it was a little kind of heartbreaking. We were behind this family walking into the Magic Kingdom, and it was clear that their little one was totally entranced by these bubbles that were being blown, right? And really wanted to just sort of hang out there. And the parents were sort of dragging them along to go do the other thing. And I understand, because you want to get stuff done. I really, truly do. But I was also thinking, man... You would have got some great photos, you know, playing in the bubbles with the castle way down the street in the background. Like, it just would have been a really cool memory. Little kids, you know, find things that they really want to do. So, you know, one of the things you can do is sort of let them be your guide in that space. Let them lead a little bit and just be flexible. But keep them on their schedule, like Mike suggested. That's the most important thing.
I will say, for Easter Sunday, beautiful here. My niece got my nephew a $5 little bubble machine from Walgreens. Dude, he's 3 years old. We had him out on the deck. That thing was entranced. I mean, and Pam took awesome pictures because she got downwind, so the bubbles were coming at us, and he was in the background. Oh, man. She said it looked like an Instagram filter, which it did. Go ahead, Ricky.
I will say, like, you know, if you want to get some souvenirs like that, they do have some great souvenirs at, like, Walgreens. Like
$5.
$5 bubble ones, stuff like that. Because you know they go for way more than that at Disney. So you could just pop that sucker out and go, here you go. And they'll be just as happy. So yeah,
buy seven of them at your side hustle. Pays for your
meal. Sell them while you're down there. Hey, look what I got.
Gotta do what you gotta do. Kara's got a question. I wouldn't do that. No. She says, have you seen the ability to get park reservations last minute? We're heading to Walt Disney World Saturday and have a park day at Epcot, but we're hoping to go to Hollywood Studios for Monday. I've been watching for a month and so far nothing has opened. Thanks. Okay. I kind of giggle because it's like, yeah. Oh, Hollywood Studios, probably not.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you said the magic words, Hollywood Studios.
That's tough nut to crack. I don't know, Pam, you were down there. I mean, did you guys try to do any flip-flopping or anything while you were there?
We did, and we were successful at doing it. I think the thing that you need to note is that you may find some Hollywood Studios open up after 7 o'clock when people did not get their Rise of the Resistance.
That's true.
And you can swoop in grab a couple and then try at 1 o'clock to get the Rise of the Resistance
I'm editing that back out because I'm going in 3 weeks.
or just be okay with the fact that you may not ride Rise that day. There are still plenty of things to do. You can still do Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. You can do Slinky Dog. You can do Smuggler's Run. You're going to have plenty to do, even if you don't do Rise. And Rise is absolutely a spectacular ride. I mean, just really, I often think of it sort of like the way that they described Mary Poppins when it was released.
Yeah.
It was their whole bag of tricks and they put it in this one. So it's very cool. But I will say, as big of a Star Wars fan as I am, it does not break my day if I don't get in and do Rise. I'm like, you know what? We got it this time. That's awesome. I like it. Or we're going to do this time. We're going to focus on some of these other things. And there's lots to do there.
Yeah. I mean, if the Force isn't with you that day and you don't get to do Rise, just get a second Ronto wrap and that's how you do it. Eat your sadness. All right, Kim's got a question, and I just want to sing O Canada. I haven't heard O Canada all year because the teams in the States in the NHL are not playing any Canadian teams because they're all playing each other this year. So there's no O Canada, which I love O Canada. Anyway, she says, hi from Canada. Hi, Kim. She says, I'm really, really hoping to be able to get down there in late fall, early winter. I've booked a package just in case, hopeful thinking. Because, again, if you don't know, the border between Canada and the United States still remains closed.
Yes.
If, miracle of miracles, the world opens up and I decide to get an annual pass, will they deduct some amount already paid on my package towards the annual pass? So this one's actually... Now, we don't know how this is going to work because, again, annual passes are definitely in limbo right now at Walt Disney World. Mm-hmm. They're not selling new ones. There's, people are doing things. Disney's doing stuff on a case-by-case basis for folks that had them, let them expire, all that kind of stuff. Here's how it worked pre-COVID, is that if you had a package with like a 10-day hopper on it, you could upgrade that 10-day hopper to an annual pass during your trip. You could do that, and they would take the value of the ticket that you paid in the package towards the annual pass. So what I would usually do is book a package, go down, and then pay the rest of it. Because what it did was I didn't have to pay the entire annual pass at one time. And that way I had a package, and I could qualify for package discounts before I left home too. So it's kind of like I was trying to play the game. So that's how it worked. That's how I would expect it to work. But don't know. And Kim said, missed you guys. We miss you. We miss all of our Canadian friends. I have a lot of Canadian friends and work with quite a few guests at the Magic for Less from Canada. And it's just, it's hard. We have those conversations via email and via text and stuff. And, our Canadian friends want to come. And I understand that, you got to wait till it's the right time. But, what we're doing for a lot of guests is, we move the trips from spring 21 to late fall 21, and some people are now moving into spring 22. And, I just keep telling everybody it's better to have a trip delayed than a trip canceled. At least it gives you something to look forward to. And we'll make it. You'll get there, and it'll be worth it. It'll be way better, but I get it. It's going to be tough. All right, Michelle says, if the Halloween Christmas parties return this year, what changes do you think we'll see? I think Santa he's passé. He's not going to be there. No, I don't know. So... help yourself candy stations? No? Is that just a dream? I would love that. Just help yourself and scoop in? No? No?
No.
Well, Ricky, okay, give us one thing you think might change. If they asked you, make this party safer. We're doing Halloween. What are you going to do?
Well, I think this is coming up because I think there are rumors that the Halloween party may be announced, which, again, these are just rumors. I believe rumors with gigantic grains of salt in these instances. So there's nothing necessarily announced. Of course, I say that, and it's Disney, so they'll have announced it because that's how we do this. If I think that they're going to have the Halloween party or the Christmas party, I do not think we're going to have fireworks. Just plain and simple. That's the one thing I can see them not doing is fireworks. So.
Okay. I say Harmonious is going to happen late summer.
I know. You think Harmonious is going to happen.
I'm just saying. I have a feeling.
But see, I think at Epcot, there's a better chance because you can spread out around the lagoon. At the Magic Kingdom, there's no spreading out. You are there on Main Street USA. True. That is the only real way to see those fireworks because they use the projection mapping technology. So I don't, at the Magic Kingdom, I don't see it happening. Maybe at Epcot, but I don't see it happening yet.
Think outside the box. The Halloween party this year is at Epcot. No, it's not. I was just trying to ruffle your feathers. Okay,
yeah,
Pam,
exactly. Yeah,
Pam, what's one other thing that may change if they bring back these hard ticket parties?
So I think we'll continue to see the character cavalcades, because not only is it a way to physically distance everyone and not have them all waiting up for this one thing, but I think that guest feedback is that they love the character cavalcades, as opposed to having, you know, one set time with this one parade. You really do get to see there is a way for them to push through all the different floats. And they're doing it now, and it's really effective. It's great. I've actually seen more characters since they have reopened than I've ever seen in my whole life, really and truly.
Same.
But I will also say, right now, Universal is doing their cinematic celebration, which is their nighttime show. It happens around a lagoon. And what happens is there are markers on the ground, and you do need to stand at your marker. I do envision a time and place where there will be circles all up and down Main Street, all around the hub, and even extending into the other areas of the park where you do have a view of the fireworks. I think this would be much easier to control during a party situation, because people aren't going to be like, you know, they will know what to expect. And think of it like this. What if you paid a certain price to attend the party, and you paid an additional price if you wanted to be on one of the spots for the fireworks?
But what do you do now, if you don't have a spot? I mean, you're just going to be like, whoa, fireworks, and you're going to stop like in the hot lava. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean,
the way that they have it now, it'll have to be gated somehow. But I feel like, and this is not something, this is my speculation, is my own personal opinion. This is not from anything. But I envision that it could happen, that there could be a way to do this. And I really am looking forward to it. I know that they want to get the fireworks back. I know that guests want to see that. I will tell you, when we saw the cinematic celebration at Universal, it was just, I like shed a tear a little bit, because it's just fireworks. Such the perfect way to end the night. It's a water screen show. It has that, and there's sounds, and there's fireworks, and there's lasers and things like that. But I love it. I love ending my night at a theme park with a really good nighttime show. I think that they're going to be creative, but I think there's a possibility that we could see something happen. So.
Kind of sounds like a fireworks show that might happen at Epcot here soon. Just
I agree.
If they can do it across the street, maybe they can do it before October. We'll see. We'll see. All right, Justin, got a good question. We got two more. We're going to sneak them in here. Justice, how is it at MCO right now leaving? How long in advance should we get to the airport when we're leaving? We have to check with having to check our own bags now. I'm super conservative. I like airports. I think they're fun because I didn't fly forever. I like being there, and I'll get an Auntie Anne's pretzel or something at MCO at the gate, you know, something fun. I take Magical Express a lot, so they pick you up 3 hours early. I'd say don't leave Walt Disney World any later than 150 minutes before your flight, maybe an hour and a half, two and a half. I don't know. You guys probably are more aggressive on that. Pam, what would you like? What's the latest you guys leave to get over there?
So we have TSA pre-check, and we always fly Southwest, which the dropping off your bags thing is actually really easy to do. But I always go by what the airport is recommending. MCO actually on their website will tell you how many minutes in advance you should arrive. Definitely check that, then you'll get the official word and you'll know exactly what to do. There are times when, you know, it might bump a little bit in it busier. It was busier last weekend. And there will be times when it does bump up in busyness. So check that site for sure.
All right. Last question is from Julie Anderson, and it says, Julie, and sorry, the button's over the top. Eric and Daniel are here. We're staying at Beach Club for a week in June of 2021. Where she has a few questions. Where's the Skyliner station at Epcot? It's right there at the International Gateway, right outside of Beach Club. You just walk towards the International Gateway. It's before you get there on your left. You cannot miss it. There's big strings, big strings and buckets above your head. Can't miss it. Does it go straight to Hollywood Studios?
Not from International Gateway.
Nope, you would have to go. You would go to Caribbean Beach. You would jump off at Caribbean Beach, and you would get on. But it is not a big deal. It's really quick. So you'd have one stop. Would it be faster to just walk from the Beach Club to Hollywood Studios? Yeah, it'd probably be. I bet you would save 10 minutes. If I had to guess.
Yeah, I agree.
Probably about 10.
I don't know.
I think they're runners. I'm pretty sure they run.
I'm just saying, like, the Skyliner moves pretty fast, but they do have to backtrack to go to their national gateway, so that's true.
And then you gotta get off, you gotta get back in, you know. Yeah. I mean, but it's continuously flying. Either way, it's probably 10 minutes either way. I would take Skyliner. Is there a bus from Beach Club to Hollywood Studios? Yes, there's usually a... Well, I don't know with the Skyliner, though. There might not be, actually.
I don't think so.
That's right. There's not, I don't think.
Unless there's like a weather issue, and then typically there is not.
Well, because there's the boat usually.
That's right. So.
Right.
That's right.
There's the boat transportation.
Now that's slow. You'll definitely beat that walk-in or Skyliner.
Yeah, but it's relaxing.
Yeah. Let's see. We have 3 days of park passes for Hollywood Studios because we want to ride Rise of the Resistance. We got all of our dining reservations this morning at 3 a.m., 60 days out Phoenix time. I love that. She says we're eating at Via Napoli, Beer Garden, Jungle Skipper Canteen, California Grill, Brown Derby, Yak and Yeti, Mama Melrose, Teppanito, Oga's Cantina, and 50s Primetime. Dude, I am going down with
I'm
you guys.
I'm so hungry. No kidding.
Julie did email me this morning with the California Grill screenshot. She's like, I got it. I was like, yes.
That's awesome.
At 3:27 was the timestamp. I was like, dedication pays off on the West Coast.
For sure.
She asked, though, last question, is there live music at Beer Garden? Has anybody been there post-COVID? Because I love Beer Garden, but I haven't been there since it reopened. Is the Oompa Band there?
I believe there is some kind of entertainment, yes, for sure. I'm almost positive.
Are they allowed to play that big old Ricola horn? The Ricola. Right? That thing gets right up there on you. Oh, this seems like that thing could be a super spreader.
Right? Sure, dude.
That's like a 50-foot long horn. It's out in the middle of your freaking frugen or whatever you're eating. I don't know what it's called.
What?
I hope that wasn't a bad word in German.
Right?
Your Frankfurters.
Yeah, that's
anyway,
a word.
So we'll figure that out and post it on Twitter if we figure it out. Because Pam, I think, is looking it up. But I don't know if the live band is there. But I think they actually are, though, from what I've...
Alfred says they do a show at Beer Garden.
Yeah, I'm almost positive. I think that they actually have the times posted outside for when the entertainers will be there. So,
yes. Okay. And you know what? They do the bells. The bells would be probably more safe than horns. Because the guy that does the bells, that still blows me away. Because he's like crazy.
Maybe they point the horn differently.
It
points backwards. Yes.
Careful where you point that thing. All right. Anyway, we're out of here. We're going to be back again on Friday. Pam's going to talk about some of the highlights of her recent trip. We're also going to talk about things that still just kind of amaze us with Disney technology, Disney experiences that when we're there. This thing, you know, some of these attractions, some of these features of an attraction could be there almost 50 years now. And we still look at them and we're like, whoa, that is so cool. There's little parts of attractions, hotels, stuff like that. So we'll talk about that on Friday as well. Don't forget, in the meantime, you can follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestMike and at BRGuestPod. Of course, subscribe on Facebook and YouTube. And our show is always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We kind of talked about it during the podcast today. One of these agents over at the Magic for Less going to take great care of you. You know, one of the things, we don't talk about this much, but once you book a trip with the Magic for Less, you get these little reminder tips every so often in your inbox. You also get not only tips, but just, you know, like a timeline things like, okay, this stuff should be happening about now. Let's start thinking about this. Let's have this discussion. And some of them are just little fun tips. Like, you're 14 days away from your trip. Guess what? 2 weeks, you're out of here, you know, and like, get ready, you know, pack your bags. It's, you know, they're little reminders that are practical and help you plan a better trip. But they also, how fun is it to get an email about vacation and not an email from the boss? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, what's that? So it's just one of those little perks. And we get you excited for that trip. And that's the whole goal. We want you to have a great trip, not only while you're there, but hey, it's fun before you go. Let's plan. Let's have fun. Let's talk about it. So just drop by themagicforless.com. Fill out the quote form. Mention the show. We'll take great care of you. Get back in touch with you right away. Look at some options and get you down to your favorite place. Check them out again over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link. Thanks to everybody who continues to do that. It means a lot and it really does help. BRGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And a huge shout out to our patrons. You're allowing us to do the 4 shows a week. Plus, we have a new name for the Sunday night show. We debuted it last night. You guys probably didn't hear this, right? Here's the new show on Saturday night or Sunday nights, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. It's You, Me, and Scotty G. How's that?
Oh my goodness.
One of our listeners sent that in last week. I thought it was hilarious.
Stop!
Because it's the caller is the you. It's
that's
me.
Special.
And it's Scotty G. So, yeah. So, if you want to become a patron, get Mike in the Midwest every Thursday as well. There's a lot of stuff going on. Just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. All right. We're going to get out of here. We'll be back again on Friday. Pam and Ricky will join me and we'll have a good time. So, until then, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.